Oh, what a good day to be in God's house. Well, today's Pentecost Sunday. It's can you believe it? It's 50 days after Easter. Can you believe Easter was that long ago? It's kind of unbelievable, and I promise I'm not going to make any comments about the weather today. So there we go. That's it. It is. So with today being Pentecost Sunday, it's interesting to note that we are going to be talking about the fruit of patience today. We've been in this series called The Fruit of the Spirit, called The Nine. And today we're talking about patience. Do this with me. Just say it out loud. Just say, patience. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and he said, hey, I got a great idea for your message. And I said, yeah? And he said, so you ought to get up and say, today I'm preaching about patience. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea, but it would get awkward really fast. Just be quiet for the next 30 minutes. Some of you might go, yeah, that might be an improvement. No, just kidding. Just kidding. So, you know, it's interesting to note that in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus told the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father, right? He didn't say, okay, I'm raised from the dead, I'm resurrected, now go out and get to work. Go get busy doing stuff. He said, okay, I'm going to the Father, and I want you to wait for the promise that I'm going to send you. And so Jesus told his disciples to wait. Now, it's interesting, as I was praying and working through the message this week, it seemed like this week, you ever just have those weeks where you're like, Lord, I feel like you were just really working hard on me this week. And this has been one of those weeks where it's like, okay, Lord, I feel like you are just working hard on me, and I didn't even pray for patience, not one time. And it's just been a long week, but I'm glad it's Sunday, and last week's behind me, and I'm 1 week closer to seeing my wife, and I'm thrilled about that. She's out west still. And so I'm looking forward to her getting home, and yeah. Oh, that's right. Somebody said, oh, thank you. So I just want to go and share a quote with you. I read this past week, and as I was putting my message together this week, it was a labor in patience, because normally I like to start early in the week and then have it done around Wednesday or Thursday, so I have time to really look through it, pray over it, think about it. You know, is there anything I need to change, anything that I've missed, anything that sounds kind of wonky? And I didn't get it done until Friday morning this week. Monday I'm going, Lord, what is going on? Tuesday, Lord, what is... By the time I got to Wednesday, I thought, okay, I'm preaching on patience. No duh, Tim. I'm working. Something is working in my life. Or I got to Thursday night, finally started coming together, and then I fell asleep and finished it Friday morning. And I finished it up, and I said, oh, Lord, thank you so much. And I really believe that God's got a good word for us today. Are you ready for a good word? All right, so let me start with this. This was a quote that I read from G. Campbell Morgan. Now, G. Campbell Morgan was a British evangelist, a preacher. He's a leading Bible teacher, and he's a prolific author. He said this. He said, waiting for God is not laziness. I'm going to say that again. Waiting for God is not laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. So he goes and says, this is what waiting is not, but this is what waiting is. Waiting for God means, first, activity under command. Jesus told his disciples to do what? To wait for the promise of the Father before they went, right? So the activity under the command was to wait and then go. First, activity under command. Second, readiness for any new command that may come. Third, the ability to do nothing until the command is given. I heard somebody share one time, they said, if God hasn't told you to go do something new, keep doing what he's told you to do until he tells you to do otherwise. It doesn't mean we just sit down and we just kind of do nothing. Waiting isn't just sitting there like we heard Kevin share just a few minutes ago. That was a great word from the Lord, by the way. Boy, he shared that, and man, I just felt like my heart began to stir. And I thought, Lord, your timing is so perfect in our lives. So today we're going to take some time on Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to ask the Lord to fill us afresh and anew. To fill us afresh and anew. It's Pentecost Sunday. We're in part of being a four-square church is we believe that Jesus is not just the Savior, he's not just the healer, he's not just our soon-coming King, but he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. We're going to take some time today, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us fresh and anew. I don't know about you, but I need to be filled every day. There's some days, this past week was evidence of it, that I just go, Lord, I need you in my life. And I need the power of the Spirit alive in me to bring me to life. So We need the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. Would you take a minute and pray with me? And can we just put our hands right about this posture here? Lord, this morning, as we are gathered in your name, we thank you, Jesus, that you are alive. Lord, the first thing you told the disciples, or one of the last things, actually, before you ascended, you said, wait for the promise of the Father. Lord, we're gathered here today, and we've heard you ministering to us through the worship as we've been partnering with you. Lord, we thank you for the encouraging word that we heard this morning. And Lord, this morning, as we look at the fruit of patience, Lord, our hands are open. Our hearts are open to say, Lord, I surrender my impatience. I surrender my stress, my anxiety, my nerves, my whatever it might be, the fears that are in our life, we surrender it to you now. And we receive with open arms a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that today, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you want to hear more about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I'm not preaching much about that today, but we will be taking some time later to pray. There's a message that was back from November 12th, 2017. It was called Power from on High. It was from the series of Church IC. We talked about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and you can go back on our website and check that out at LaconiaFoursquareChurch.com. But let's go ahead and get into the Word. Let's do a quick recap. First off, thanks, moms who were on the panel last Sunday. Wasn't last Sunday really awesome? Hearing that great feedback, I thought, gosh, I'm getting so much out of this, and I'm not a mom. Hearing from mothers that were sharing from their experience. So moms, thank you. The week before that, we talked about the fruit of peace and what peace does. We looked at some things that the fruit of peace does. Peace approves us. Peace calms us. It calls us. It directs us. It fills us and it guards us. That's what the peace of God, the fruit of peace does in our life. It is a very active fruit. How do we receive peace? We discipline our mind. This week has been a week of disciplining my mind. And I was driving to church this morning. I was going to walk. I said I wasn't going to talk about weather. I saw rain in the forecast, so I drove. I didn't want to walk home and get wet. And I found myself saying, Lord, help me to discipline my mind better. Help me to do a better job focusing on you. Discipline my thoughts. Help me, Lord, to do that. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 talked about what we set our minds on. If we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, then the Bible says if we do that, then we will have life and peace. Everybody say peace. God wants his peace to be alive inside of us. We also talked about how do we live in peace? We love God's word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 165 says, great peace have they which love your word, and nothing causes them to stumble. Remember we talked about that great peace. It's not just having great, I got peace, but it's being a master of peace. I am not a master of peace. Not yet. One day I believe I can get there as long as I love God's word. That's what the word says, right? Great peace have those who love your law, love your word, and nothing shall offend them or nothing shall cause us to stumble. I don't want to stumble ever, never, no, not ever. So today, let's talk about patience, the fruit of patience. Do this with me. Look at the person next to you and say, patience. 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 So patience, the word in the Greek comes from a compound word, and it's two words actually, and it's the word macrothumia, and the first word is macros, which means long. You may have heard the word macro. There's a macrocosm and a microcosm. There's macroeconomics and microeconomics. Big and small, basically, is what that's talking about. So macro means big or long. Here's what thumos means. This was interesting. Temper. It means you have a long temper. Have you ever been around somebody and they got a really short fuse? And you just want to go, whoa, calm down there, Johnny Rocket. You need to, like, hit the brakes and slow down. Like that song we sang this morning, slow down. It's like, yeah. So the word patience means to have a long fuse. Now, some people are naturally long-tempered people. I don't have a very short fuse. There are some things that push my buttons, but not too many. But when the buttons get pushed, it's like, oh, I got to work on my patience right now. Like when I get on the highway and somebody doesn't turn off their turn signal. That used to drive me nuts. You ever get behind somebody and they got their left turn signal on or their right turn signal on and you're behind them, it seems like for miles, and you're just watching the thing blink and you're flashing your lights and you're hitting your turn signal and you're hitting your flashers and you're doing everything you can do and they just keep on driving. Well, it seems like the older I'm getting, it seems like the less it bothers me, which I'm glad, because when I was younger, that was one thing that really drove me nuts. I thought, shut off your turn signal! Until it discovered maybe they had their music too loud and they couldn't hear the... Because when I get in my car, it's a real quiet... And sometimes the music is turned up to about 35 or 40, and I don't realize, I look down and I go, oh, I'm that person! So there's three main things I'd like to talk about today with patience. What patience isn't and what patience is. So the first thing I want to say, patience doesn't say grin and bear it. Patience doesn't say grin and bear it. What patience does say is, what are you teaching me through this? Patience doesn't say, I've said that before. Well, I'm just going to grin and bear it. I can fake it till I make it. See, it's not just grinning and bearing it. Patience says, what the Lord says through patience, the fruit of patience is, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through what I am walking through? See, we all go through drama in life, don't we? We all have struggles. We all have things that are happening in our worlds. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, say this. And I've got this scripture up on the screen too. Let's follow along. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Go ahead and jump ahead there for me, Greg. I know we didn't read Galatians 5 today, but we'll jump ahead because I'm running behind. I think it's, what is that, slide number 12? Yeah. There you go. Here we are. A lot of words. So here we go. Since we have been made right with God by our faith. Aren't you glad we've been made right with God? We've been made right with God by our faith. We have peace with God. This happened through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through our faith has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. And we are happy because of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. Here we go. We also have joy with our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. Boy, that is a mouthful right there, isn't it? And, everybody say, and.
And.
And this hope will never disappoint us. Everybody say, never.
Never.
This hope will never disappoint us because God has poured out his love to fill our hearts. He gave us his love through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. There's some things that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome in this passage that I think are keys for us to see. He says that we have joy with our troubles. How many times are we going through something and we get down in the dumps? Oh, Lord, here we go again. I knew this was going to happen. God, really? Yesterday we went on the boat and we actually didn't get to fish because the engine died. And so we got out, and I don't know how many miles out we were, but we had to, at one point, the boat slows down. We were going at a really good pace. It slows down. It starts to turn, and we started going back towards shore. And I was talking to a friend on a boat, and they said, we're going back towards shore. That's not a good sign. I was disappointed because I was looking forward to eating fish for dinner last night. Jackson and I were talking. Jackson goes, Dad, can we come back later? And we all kind of made the general consensus that, well, we'll come back again next time. But as we were on the boat yesterday, I thought, well, I got some preaching material for tomorrow because I was really looking forward to having some fish. See, the word says that we have joy with our troubles. See, we could have all of us men could have been, oh, man, I knew something was going to happen with the boat. This always happens to me. Something always bad happens. But the Bible says that we have joy with our troubles. And what it means is, you know what? Maybe God spared us from something that we didn't know that could have happened. Maybe we would have gone out there all day long and caught all the fish in the ocean and been stuck out there all night. I don't know. They were calling for rain. Maybe it rained, maybe it didn't. We came home. We had a little bit of rain last night, which was nice. But it was nice being inside my house watching it rain, not on the boat, soaking from head to toe, having caught all the fish in the ocean, going, I'm glad I caught the fish, but I'm wet and I'm raining and I'm stuck 20 miles off the coast. See, the word says that joy comes with our troubles because we know that troubles produce patience. Troubles produce patience. Not only does trouble produce patience, but patience produces character. I want to be a Christian that has integrity, that has character, that what I say is what I say, that my yes is yes, that my no is no, that when my kids see me here at church and they see me at home, they don't see Tim the preacher, and then they see Tim the dad. When I'm out at the grocery store, that people see Tim Versalono is the same at church as he is when he's at Walmart or pumping gas in the station or when he's on the boat and we just got word that we've got to turn around and go home. See, because the Bible says that patience produces character, and it doesn't just stop right there. It says character produces hope. Character produces hope. That's a good process. You see that process? Tobor produces patience. Patience produces character. Character produces hope. And then Paul goes on to say that hope never disappoints us. Now, you might be saying, now, wait a second. What about like in the book of Proverbs chapter 13 where it talks about hope deferred makes the heart sick? Let's talk about that for a minute. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, look at this. It's not hope that makes the heart sick, but it's the dream that's postponed, right? Hope doesn't make us sick because the Bible says that hope never disappoints us, right? Hope doesn't disappoint. Many of us have been praying and believing for a long time. We heard Kevin share this morning from that word from the Lord. One day we're going to be at 22 Pleasant Street. I can't wait to get there, but there's some steps that we got to take in order to get there. The past several days, we've had a team over there getting asbestos out, and I was talking to my friend this morning, Bob, and he said, they were thinking they'd be done yesterday, and they're thinking, okay, well, maybe we'll be done today, but it's been a bigger job than they anticipated because, man, some of those tiles on the floor are, they got like, what, four or five layers of tile on the floor? Five layers? Could you imagine doing five? You got five layers of tile at your house. Many of us would just say, let's just go over it. Well, but there's asbestos in the tile, and we said, well, we're going to go ahead and get it out of there. We're going to get it out of the ceiling. And so I think when they finally say, we're done, I think there's going to be a collective, thank you, Lord. Because then we can start moving things forward. But see, the Bible says that hope never disappoints, but there has been a hope that's been deferred because there's been something that's been standing in the way of that's been blocking the progress. Do you see what I'm saying? See, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when a dream fulfilled, it's a tree of life. So when this asbestos comes out, when the walls start going up, when we start changing things up, and when we finally move in, I think we're all going to go, oh, Lord, thank you so much. It's going to be a dream realized. And what's it going to do for our hope? It's going to make our hope even stronger. Because the Bible said troubles produce patience. We've had some trouble getting in that building, haven't we? Troubles produce patience. Patience produces character. I think that God has been producing character in our lives. Look at the person next to you and say, you're not a character, but you have character. Some of you actually might be characters. Character produces hope, and hope never disappoints us. See, Hebrews chapter 11, 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, so patience doesn't just say grin and bear it. Well, you got asbestos. What are we going to do? We're going to get it out. There's some steps along the way, but we're going to get it out. Thank God it's finally coming out. Here's a second thing patience doesn't say. Patience doesn't say, better you than me. Some of you guys look at me like, yeah, I've said that before. So have I. JJ and I are done having kids. Better you than me. See, patience doesn't say, better you than me. Here's what patience says. Patience says, better you and me. It's better you and me. Let's look at this for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says this. The Lord is not slow. Everybody say, not slow. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So let's think about this for just a minute. Patience, it's not just an individual action or the action of another person. We look at this passage here, and the Lord says, patience is a partnership. Right? God says, he is patient with us. Aren't you glad that God is patient with us? See, this is, as I was looking at this, it's not just saying that God is patient with us, saying, okay, one of these days they're going to get it. One of these days it's going to get through their head and they're going to get understanding of what my word says. That's not what it says. God says that God is patient with you. I've got three kids, and there have been many times that I've been patient with my kids, not just patient with them while I'm going, okay, clean your room, okay, wash the dishes, okay, do whatever it might be, okay, I'm waiting for you to come home. I've told you to be home, and you're not home yet with my car. Where are you? But when, as I was growing up as a father with my kids, I was patient with my kids. Why? Because the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart from it. So if my kids aren't learning patience, the question I need to ask is, am I being patient or am I modeling impatience? Because God doesn't model impatience. The Word of God says in 2 Peter 3:9, He is patient with you. Who better to teach us patience than God Himself? See, it's a partnership. It's God is saying, better, God's not saying better you than me. He says, hey, let's do this together. It's better when it's you and me. When the Lord teaches us, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, because He doesn't want anyone to perish. See, I can't wait for Jesus to come back. I can't wait. Jesus is coming soon, but there's still a whole lot of people that need to hear that Jesus is coming soon so they can make the choice for life. Hopefully they make the choice for life, or say, pass. Hopefully nobody says pass, because the Word of God says what? He doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So why hasn't Jesus come back yet? Because everybody hasn't had a chance to hear the good news yet. When Jackson and I were driving on the road the other day, he said, so what if the Lord came back like in 5 seconds? He said, would the car just like keep moving forward and we'd be gone? I said, yeah, pretty much. That'd be a pretty big mess on the roads. And I said, and then my next comment was this. I said, you know, Jackson, I said, I think it'd be kind of cool. Not that this will happen, but I think it'd be kind of cool. That moment after we're caught away to be with the Lord, I wonder what it would be like to look at the world as Christians are caught away and to see that moment of chaos where people go, what just happened? Where'd everybody go? Because it's going to be a big hot mess when we're caught away. I don't know if that'll happen, that we could look and see, but I thought it'd be kind of cool. One of those things that make you go, I wonder. But see, the Word of God tells us that He's patient with us. He's not just patient with us. He's patient with us. He's teaching us how to be patient. See, our God is not a gotcha God. Here's what I mean by that. God's not waiting for you to just slip up and fall and go, ha, gotcha. God doesn't just throw you a curveball and say, oh, I gotcha. I gotcha on that one. You've heard me share that I used to work in a restaurant, twice a year we would have this inspection, and it was crazy intense, and it was a couple days long, and they looked at everything, literally everything in the restaurant. How did we train our team? How were we managing our team? Food, shelf life, were your labels and data 100%? Did you have food that was rotated properly? Because you can kill people if you serve them bad food, right? And so I remember... the feeling was always whenever your area director would come in and do this inspection, there was a feeling that they were looking for stuff to be wrong. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And he sat down with me one day before we did this inspection. He said, now, Tim, I'm not looking to come in here and go, gotcha. I am looking for you guys to shine because this should just be standard operating procedure that food is being handled properly, that team members are being trained properly, that guests are being taken care of. So it's not that I'm looking to look and go, up, that's wrong, up, that's wrong, ah, gotcha here, gotcha there. Look at all this stuff that's wrong. He said, now, that may happen along the way, but that's stuff where we get to improve and get better. See, our God is not coming in at us and going, okay, you know what? I gave you my Bible. Why haven't you been doing what my Bible says to do? Gotcha. That's not how our God is, because He's patient with us. Here's a third thing patience does not say. Patience doesn't say this, what did I do to deserve this? I've thought that before. I think if I were to ask for a poll, I think many of us have probably thought that or even said that out loud. What did I do to deserve this? Patience doesn't say that. Here's what patience says. Patience says, what will I do to conquer this? What will I do to conquer this? I'll be honest with you. Again, oftentimes that is not my first thought. My first thought is, oh, I got to deal with this again. Lord, I thought this was under the blood. Lord, I thought this was taken care of. Lord, I've prayed over this. I know you set me free from this. And what I do to deserve this again? But faith says, patience says, what will I do to conquer this? See, the fact is that we live in a world, John 16, 33 says, we will have trouble. Thank you for that. Praise God. See, the word of God says in John 16, 33, in this world, you will have trouble. Everybody say, I will have trouble. Now, aren't you glad that the verse just doesn't stop right there? Here's the part two to that verse. But take heart. The New King James Version says, be of good cheer. That means when you start going through challenges, here's what you can do by faith. You can say, trouble's coming my way. I got this. I'm good to go because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because the Bible says, take heart, be courageous. Jesus has overcome the world. The stuff that we are going to go through, the things that life tries to throw our way, the Bible says, you already win because Jesus has already won. See, patience doesn't say, what did I do to deserve this? But God, in his immeasurable, amazing patience with us, he says, we're going to work through this together until you get it right because I love you just that much. He's patient with us, but he says, I'm going to help you conquer this because he sent Jesus to conquer. See, patience says, in spite of living in this fallen world, I can be courageous. I can make the choice to say, I am not going to bow my knee to this fear again. I'm going to stand in Jesus' name, and I'm going to call somebody to pray with me because I need some prayer support. I'm going to text my brother. I'm going to email somebody. I'm going to give somebody a call on the phone. I'm going to stop them and say, can I pray with you? Will you pray with me? See, oftentimes, the enemy uses isolation to say, you know what? You're the only person who's going through this and who's ever gone through it in the history of ever. Right? How many times have you felt like that? You feel like nobody else knows what I'm going through. Jesus knows what he's going through, what you're going through, because he says, I've overcome the world. In this world, there's going to be stuff that breaks. There's going to be stuff that Jesus needs to fix. There's stuff that Jesus will help us fix. But see, he says, you can be of good cheer. You can take heart. You can be courageous because he has overcome the world. See, Romans chapter 8, turn there with me. Romans chapter 8. I love this passage of scripture. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading verses 35. Romans chapter 8 says this, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Whoa, whoa, wait, hang on a second. Stop, pause right there. If anybody has the right to condemn, it says it's Jesus, right? That's what the word says. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen. But Jesus doesn't condemn, does he? Jesus comes alongside and he says, okay, I'm the greater one. So watch this. Here we go. So who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was crucified, dead, buried for 3 days in the ground, rose again triumphant, sitting next to the right hand of God the Father, is praying for Amy right now. Jesus is praying for Bob right now. Jesus is praying for Michael. Jesus is praying for Rob. Jesus is praying for Nate, for Chris. Jesus is praying for, say your name. Yeah. Say it one more time. Jesus is praying for right now. Jesus is interceding to the Father for you right now. Oh, man, that's really good. Then verse 35 goes on to say this, who shall separate us? This is a rhetorical question. I love it when Paul asks rhetorical questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Or distress? Nope. Or persecution? Nope. Or famine? Nope. Or nakedness? Nope. Or peril? You get the picture, right? Or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But wait, there's more. For I am persuaded. Say that with me. Say, I'm persuaded. You might be thinking, saying, man, we're repeating a lot of stuff today. It's because I want to make sure we get this today. We're talking about the fruit of patience. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Patience doesn't say, what did I do to deserve it? Patience says, what will I do to conquer it? Because the greater one lives inside of you and me today. That is what the Word of God says. And sometimes I got to kick my faith in the backside and say, come on, faith, get in gear. Come on, Tim, get in gear. Come on, Tim, quit speaking those things that are contrary to what the Word of God says. Quit saying, achoo, oh, I must be getting sick. No, I'm not. I ain't got no time for that. I don't have time to be sick. Oh, I got aches in my bones. I must be getting old. Well, you know what? The Bible says that the Word of God is life in my body. The Bible says in Romans that says, not only does the greater one live inside of me, but if the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living inside of me, he will bring life to this mortal body. That means the Holy Spirit doesn't just give you the ability to speak in tongues. He doesn't just want to pray through you, but he wants to make you stronger. If you're here today and you've got a need for healing in your body, remember the passage that says the Holy Spirit is alive inside of you and he's quickening, is what the King James Version, he's bringing life. It's like he's going clear poof, into your body. Oh, man, that's good preaching. I'm getting happy. See, the Bible says that in all these things that bring troubles and test my patience, which produces character, which produces hope, and hope never disappoints me, he says, I am never alone. How do I know it? Because of Acts chapter 1, verse 4, 1, verse 8, and 2, verse 4. Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Father, and when the promise of the Father came, they went, this is that which was spoken of. And then Peter went even further and said, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Your young men will have dreams. Your old men will see visions. Your young men are going to prophesy. And I'm going to pour my spirit out on the earth. See, it's no accident that today is the day of Pentecost and the disciples had to wait for a time because they had to pray and say, Jesus, we don't know what it is, but we want this gift that you're talking about. If God were to come up to me and say, Versalono, I got a gift for you. You better believe I would sit there and I'd wait for it. And I would wait for it. And I say, God, thank you for the gift. Thank you for the promise. Lord, I'm not sure what it is, but you told me to wait, so I'm going to wait. Because wait just doesn't mean sit here and go like this. I've been waiting 3 minutes. I'm going to go pop some popcorn. While I'm waiting, I'm going to go do something, and I'm just going to sit here and wait. No, it's active. It's saying, God, thank you for your promise. God, I'm not sure what my future holds, but you do, and thank you for your promises for me. All your promises are yes and amen according to the Word of God. See, then we get to the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and what happens? There's the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's the power. The Bible says, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit came to bring power. It's power to witness, power to live a life that is anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. See, we conquer by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So let me bring this home. Jason, go ahead and come on up, brother. So remember, here's some key takeaways that as we continue looking into this series with the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, God wants us to be fruitful in patience. Everybody say in patience. God doesn't want us to be fruity with patience. He wants us to be fruitful. Why? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. He is working it in my life. Are things going to happen? Some things will fall in place quickly. Other things will take a little bit longer to happen. I've got friends who have been praying to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit for years. I don't know why some people pray, and the next words out of their mouth, they're praying in tongues, and other people, 15, 20 years. I had one friend, they were praying to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and they'd been praying for quite a while, and just they were driving in their car one day. And she just said, Lord, thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Bam! I don't know why. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. It doesn't say Tim Versalono is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to be faithful in patience, not fruity with patience. Don't get discouraged and say, well, gift must not be for me. If I had $1 million and I came up to you and I said, Jacob, I got $1 million. Would you like $1 million? Yeah, that's what I would expect you to say. Jason would be crazy if he looked at me and said, you know, it's not for me. I don't need $1 million. I'm good. I'm good. You know, my car's broke down, but I'm good. Life is good, man. I don't need to. You keep your. There's somebody else who needs it more than me. No, if somebody came up to me and I legitimately had $1 million, I said, here's check for $1 million, Jacob. Boom. There you go. Man, house done. Car paid for. Wedding planned. And paid for, exactly. See, God wants us to be fruitful in patience. And if there's been that challenge to say, well, God must not have that for me, I want to challenge you and say, well, I believe God does. Maybe just we need to be a little more patient and say, God, in your time. Because it's not my time. In my flesh, I get impatient pretty easily, some of us, don't we? God wants us to be fruitful in patience. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the source for long-lasting patience. See, so when he said earlier, he said, wait for the promise. It's not just that we're patient. It's not just that there's long suffering. It's not just a long temper. But the Holy Spirit takes that wiring. And even if you got a short temper, the Lord can change your internal wiring. He's the one who made us. See, the Holy Spirit is a source for long-lasting patience. I prayed for, you guys have heard me joke about this in the past. I've legitimately prayed for patience only one time in my life. Only one time. I was a freshman in Bible college, and I was hungry and zealous for the Lord, and I was growing in my walk with the Lord, and I was becoming more like Jesus. And in my morning prayer time, I said, oh, God, just help me to be more patient. I want to be more patient. Will you work out the fruit of patience in my life? That is the last time I have legitimately prayed for patience, because I know that in this world I will have trouble. And trouble produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. You see that? Jesus wants to work his fruit of patience in our life for long-lasting patience. And the third takeaway, the fruit of the Spirit produces place for the power of the Spirit in our everyday lives and its power to experience real patience. You may be here today. And you say, you know, Pastor, I really could use some more patience. He'll work it out. And if you want to pray, I'm not telling you not to pray for patience, but I'm saying if you pray for patience, get ready to start living it. Because you'll look back and go, why is all this stuff happening this week? What is going on? And the Holy Spirit will remind you, remember you prayed this way the other day, and I'm working that in your life. See, the Holy Spirit wants us to experience real patience. Because he's real power. He's the greater one that lives inside of us. Amen? That's what the word says. If you want to experience power in your life, just say, God, here I am. Here I am. Just fill me with everything that you've got for me. As we get ready to come to a conclusion today, I just want to ask, can we each take a moment, close our eyes, bow our heads? I want to ask a couple questions today. You may be here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You may be here and you say, you know, I want to have more patience, but now I'm kind of scared to ask for it. Don't be scared to ask, because Jesus loves us way too much to leave us alone. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, and you say, you know what, today's the day I want to ask Jesus in, would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to invite Jesus into my life today. I don't want to be the same. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask this second question today. You may be here today and say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, and I need some help with patience. I don't want to be afraid to ask for it, but I sure want the Lord to have his way in my life. I need more character. I need more hope. Jesus will work that in your life. You're here today and you might be saying, that's me, Pastor. I'd like more character. I'd like more hope. I'd like more patience. I want to be a more patient person. I'm tired of flying off the handle. I'm tired of things that rub me the wrong way and I react. and I don't respond. The Holy Spirit wants to work in your life today. Would you slip your hand up and say, yeah, that's me, Pastor. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can put those hands down. Third question I want to ask today, and I want to ask if you'd stand with me as I ask this question. Could we all stand together all across the room? With our eyes still closed and our heads still bowed. You may be here today, and I'm hoping you've heard a few things that have sparked your spirit. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I feel like I don't have much power in my life. I'm hearing you talking about patience and the power of the Holy Spirit and power to live, and sometimes I just feel powerless. Maybe you have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you haven't. But if the Lord were standing here today, he would say, I want to bless you with everything that heaven has to offer. I think every one of us would say, Lord, I want everything heaven has to offer. I just want to ask you, if you have never received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I know I didn't really talk much about what it is today, but God wants to fill you with his power. He wants to fill you overflowing with this Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be filled to overflowing. I just want to have life all over me all the time. Would you slip your hand up today? We want to take a minute and pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Church, could we just pray this prayer together? And I just want to ask, could we just all together just lift our hands before the Lord? The Bible says to lift holy hands. Lifting hands is not a Pentecostal thing. It's a Bible thing. So, Lord, today we lift our hands in your presence. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you just repeat this simple prayer with me? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. My hands are lifted in your presence. And I ask you to fill me with your power. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your grace. Lord, would you fill me with everything you have for me? Lord, I receive the gift of patience, the fruit of patience that would work in my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you've made me a conqueror, an overcomer through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I ask you now, fill me to overflowing. I want more of you, God. More of you and less of me, so that when people look at me, they see Jesus and they don't see me. In Jesus' name. Now, I just want to ask, would you just repeat this with me? Holy Spirit, I receive your gift in my life. Fill me to overflowing in Jesus' name. Now, I just want to ask all of us together. I want to set my microphone down in just a moment. But I want to ask all of us together, those who have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, what we're going to do is we're going to begin worshiping the Lord and thanking him first in our natural language, whether it's English, whether it's Spanish, maybe something else is your first language other than English. But I'm convinced if we're not comfortable hearing ourselves pray in English, we'll have a hard time hearing ourselves praying in an unknown tongue that God wants to give us. Does that make sense? Our kids know us because we talk to them. When I talk to Shay, Casey, and Jackson, they know what the voice of their father sounds like. I want to know what the voice of my father sounds like. Amen? So let's take a few moments and just begin by just thanking the Lord in English, and then I'll ask if we could all together corporately as an act of worship begin to call out to the Lord in the gift of tongues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you. Church, continue to just lift your voice in praise and thanks to him. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love in our life. Thank you for saving us, for redeeming us. Thank you for pulling us out of the pit of sin. Thank you for setting us on a solid rock, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I just want to ask, could we just begin to transition now? Begin to just call out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for brothers and sisters who have raised their hands today who say, I want to be filled to overflowing. So, Lord, right now we receive your fullness. We receive your fullness today in Jesus' name.
Thou will rest in your promises, my confidence.
Lord, let your church be filled with power. Let my brothers and sisters, let us, your children, be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, Lord, we receive everything you have for us today. Our arms are open, our hearts are receptive to receive, Lord God, that which you have for us today. Just sing that out.
Faithful forever you will be. Faithful you are.
And let's declare it together. All your promises. Sing it out.
All your promises are yes and amen.
All your promises.
Oh, all your promises are yes and amen.
Lord, we thank you. Thank you for filling us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me just ask, right before we dismiss, we're going to leave in just a minute. You may be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm not quite fully sure what happened there, but something shifted in my life. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've been praying for a while and all of a sudden something just came out and it sounded kind of funny. Is anybody at all? Wonderful. Praise God. Now, anybody else say, yeah, I just prayed in an unknown language, something I've never done before. That's the Holy Spirit in you. Now, let me tell you this. Before we go, I want to remind you of a phrase that we've talked about from time to time. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Practice doesn't make perfect because you and I are not perfect. But we serve a perfect God. We live for a perfect Savior. Amen. And the more I practice, the better I get on my piano. Oh, there it is. The more I practice, the better I get on the drums. The more I practice praying, the better I get at praying and listening to what the Lord is saying. So I want to encourage you, practice. Practice in the privacy of your car. I can't tell you how many times I've been in my car, and I'm in my car, and I can get as loud as I want in my car. Because the only person who is going to hear next to me is people at the intersection, and they might look at me and go, what is up with this guy? But it doesn't really matter, because it's just me and Jesus. I might look like a weirdo, but that's okay. What's that? With my directional signal on? Yeah. Shut the blinker off. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. But I want to encourage you. Practice. I was listening to a pastor friend of mine one time. When he received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and it was a funny story. You know, as a kid, growing up in a Pentecostal church, you know, when you hear somebody pray in tongues, it sounds silly. It sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? We can be honest, right? And I remember being a little kid, and I heard somebody over, like on this side of the church, and it was kind of in that distance, you know. And I remember sitting there going, because it sounds kind of funny. But the Lord gave my pastor, my friend, this word, it was teleapi. And he shared this at church, and I said, well, that sounds like a fish. Tilapia, right? And that's all that he had. And he said, that's all I had for a long time. And I would just go, teleapi, 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 teleapi. He said, one day, and it's like the Lord just unzipped the heavens, and all of a sudden, it just, and it just came out. And I was like, oftentimes, that's how it happens. One last story, I promise. Can I just share one more? JJ's grandma, wonderful woman, Grace, she went to be with the Lord a few years ago around Christmas time. When she received the baptism with the Holy Spirit, I remember her telling me this story. She said, Tim, she said, I couldn't speak in English for days. I said, wow, really? She said, it was days. She said, it was probably 2 or 3 days. I would open up my mouth to speak in English, and all that would come out was tongues. I said, wow, that's the Lord. I want to encourage you, practice, because practice makes permanent. And God has good gifts for us, amen? If you had $1 million for you, you'd say, I'll take that $1 million. I want everything God has for me. All right, so before we leave, we are celebrating Sherry today. We've got some cake around the corner. I think we even have like a gluten-free option too. So some of you guys who are like, you know, gluten intolerance, I think we have like a gluten-free cake or something. We don't? Oh, that's right. That's right. So no gluten-free, I take it back. But if you are gluten intolerant, I can eat your piece. I'm happy to help you with that, especially if it's chocolate with lots of frosting, no problem. So we've got that around the corner in the cafe. Please take a minute. Would you just kind of grab Sherry and give her a big hug, congratulate her, and enjoy a piece of cake on your way out. Well, we're going to stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing. Now, Lord, I thank you that as we've gathered here today, I thank you that the same Spirit that raised you, Jesus, from the dead is living inside of all of us today. Lord, as we go from this place today, let us leave filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the fruit of patience, so no matter what the world throws our way, we can say, I got this because the greater one's got me. I declare, church, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are above and not beneath, that you are blessed and not cursed. And whatever you set your hands to will prosper in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, would you shout amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have an awesome, wonderful week. If you would like prayer, we've got